book of Hebrews today, chapter number 11. Then, if you'd hold that place, go to the left in your Bible and find Genesis chapter number 6. I'd like to read some parallel scriptures along with this story today. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse simply number 7. Deal with one verse. The Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for this time together, Lord, at the house of God. Thank you for the time together, Lord, with the saints of God. Now I pray that you let preaching be easy these few minutes. Pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. And God, would you magnify the scriptures in this place this morning? God, I'm weak in body. I sure do need your help today. I pray you'd touch me and use me. Let me be a blessing now. Use my mind, my heart, and God to speak to the people this morning. Help us this great day. In Jesus' name I pray and ask you, amen and amen. Well, I'm not much of a special day preacher, but I did have a thought in Mother's Day of preaching on the mother that Jesus had, and I want to just give a few thoughts today on maybe one of the greatest Bible fathers that's mentioned in our one little passage of Scripture. Don't know if you've noticed in verse number 7 or not, but here was a dad that was loaded by faith. The Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God, he of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, what a great role model in the home that Noah gives us. We've heard a lot about Noah and his ark, but this morning, could we sort of focus on Noah and his faith? I want to say, first of all, by way of Noah's faith, in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8, the Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you glad that when God looks at us, he don't look through us through the eyes of the law, but by the eyes of grace? You know, the Bible said that law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's ever been a time, in this time, we better realize it is the grace of God that we're all not in a bad place this morning. Thank God for the eyes of the Lord. Now, I sure am glad that our Lord has graceful eyes. You better be glad he has a compassionate heart. Because I'm going to tell you, we sure do need him in this day and hour that we live. Now, Noah's faith, you'll notice this, the Bible said in Genesis 6 and 6, he repented the Lord that he'd made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Boy, the Bible said in verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. None of that's changed today. That every imagination of the thoughts, watch this, of his heart, was only evil continually. Then all of at once, God breaks out in verse 8 by grace, and he says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, you'll notice he says something else. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Look what grace will do. Grace will justify you this morning. Nobody's going to meet God right till they meet God by the grace of God. And the grace of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as it was one way in this ark, there's still one way to heaven this morning. That is by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an option of how we get to heaven. There's one way to the gate. It's not of works. It's not of water baptism. It's simply by the sweet grace of God that flowed from Calvary's cross, what he done for us through his Son. I sure am glad I'm saved by grace through faith this morning. Therefore, you'll see Noah's faith. Now, all of a sudden, it changes. Said Noah found grace. He was a just man. perfect in his generations. I'll remind you this. It's still right to walk with God in the last days. Noah could have had a lot of excuses, Daddy, in which not to serve or walk with God. Because I'm going to tell you, this world was eat up with wickedness. That's not changed today. You know, we feel like maybe a lot of times in our government policies, well, we'll educate men and make them better. Then we'll put them in penitentiaries and say, well, we'll just sort of keep them up a while till they get better. Honey, let me tell you, none of those principles is working in our land. Now, I tell you what would fix America this morning. And that is the grace and the eyes of an almighty God. Oh, how we need God back in our country, back in our community, and back in our homes. I'm going to tell you, the generation's always been wicked. Honey, if this ain't Johnny come lately preaching to you this morning, I realize that there's wickedness on every corner. But aren't you glad there's still a few daddies that's purpose in their heart that they will walk with God? He had all kind of excuses. Well, nobody's cheerleading me on. Nobody's giving me a hooray charge. Ain't you glad some of you's had daddies that just walked with God on the principles of loving Him and serving Him and realizing they is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun this morning. Oh my, we see Noah's great faith. Now watch this. When he met God, he said, Lord, you're so good and so sweet, I want to walk with you. There's nothing like walking with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this. When you walk with the Lord, I want to say, first of all, it has to do with submission. The reason people don't walk with the Lord is because, you see, it takes this thing of submission. You've got to go the way He's going. He's not walking with you. You've got to walk with Him. And if you walk with Him, He's going to take you some places that you've never been. And so that takes me to my next point. Not only when you walk with God is it a place of submission, it's a place of separation. Not many will walk with Him. Because when you walk with God, I can tell you this, He's going to take you places that this flesh really don't want to go. Some of you would get out of the beer joints and the bars if you start walking with God, because He won't take you in them places. Some of you would do better with your families because He's not going to lead you out. He's going to lead you in. I love the places that God takes me. And there's nothing like walking with Him. Not only is there submission. Oh, yes, you've got to submit to His authority. Let me tell you, God is nobody's co-pilot. That's your problem. You're wanting Him to be your co-pilot instead of the pilot. I done found out about this God of the Bible, honey. If He don't drive, He ain't even going to ride around with you. Oh, I had God's my co-pilot. I'd go out there and get me a pocket knife. I'd scrape that junk off my car for the glory of God. I'd wave the white flag of surrender and say, God, I'm tired of you being my co-pilot. I'm ready for you to drive a while. Hallelujah. Oh my, you'll notice Noah's faith, it took him walking, and you'll notice when he went to walking, he submitted. That's one of my problems. I don't always want to submit to the way God's going. Oh my, it brings submission. And then I want to say it brings separation. Not many will walk with God. You'll notice this, when you're walking with the Lord, a lot of times it may feel like that you're alone. But I'll remind you, you're never alone. God's always with His children. So not only does it bring submission, not only does it involve separation, but I've noticed this, walking with God, a lot of times it brings solitude. Because not many are walking with God. Now, God will let you walk with Him, but you got to go His way. You see, the disciples, it dawned on them one day the reason they didn't have nothing. It would help you if you'd listen to this old country preacher. They went out fishing He said, what y'all got? They said, we ain't got nothing. And I don't know about y'all, but in Bowden, Georgia, honey, nothing is still nothing. It ain't nothing left. Said, what y'all boys got? They said, nothing. He said, well, cast it on the right side and you shall find. And when they had this done, they could not draw it for the multitude of fishes. Maybe if you're tired of coming up empty in life, and maybe if you're tired of always having what you've always got, it may be time to go to listening to His directions. Oh my, I'm telling you, Noah's faith. I'm glad I had a daddy that had faith. My daddy made a lot of mistakes. But I'm going to tell you what, my daddy had faith in God. Now, I'm glad that I'm not locked down there in the Chinese restaurant. I'm glad my God is not a little gold man sitting up on the counter with a pot belly on him this morning. And then when closing time's done, their God goes out of business. But I'm glad my God is alive, and I'm glad you can put faith in my God. Listen to me. We've got a God that can be trusted this morning. I'm glad we've got a God that is alive and a God that is around and a God that is aware. And so Noah's faith, now we see his submission, his separation, and a lot of times his solitude. But not only Noah's faith, but what about Noah's fear? Did you notice in the text verse that I read, certainly on Noah's fear, the Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I've heard people say, well, y'all cannot scare my children. I don't want to scare your children, but I sure do want to warn them. I want them to realize the fear of the Lord. See, that's what's the problem in America. Nobody fears God anymore. Isn't it amazing they'll come and do their drug dealings on your church property between the buildings? Brother Mike sent me a message this week on the camera every day. Matter of fact, be careful what you do. We got a picture of you. Amen. Some of you done so ugly, we've had to put 9 cameras in this week. You broke the camera. You'll get that tomorrow. But I can tell you this, isn't it amazing how that people will come and they have no fear of God. They'll do anything on God's property. Boy, I sure am glad I was raised around a daddy, Brother David, that had the fear of God. Oh, the Bible said that he moved with fear. It'd do some of you to get some fear to get you on the move of things. And I want to tell you, remind you in this, in Hebrews 4, verse number 1, Hebrews 4, verse number 1. Look what the Bible simply says. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now Noah's fear. Also in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 17. Said, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In Philippians 2 and verse number 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Oh my, Noah had fear of God. I'm going to tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. We ought to have godly fear and reverential fear. We ought to realize when we come to the house of God on Sunday, this is the Lord's house. It's not your church, not my church, it's the Lord's church. He died for His church. We ought to come in with a reverential fear, a reverential awe. It ought to make us to be disciplined on the Lord's day. When we pull up on this property, we ought to realize if it went for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. Friend, let me tell you, God, you've not done God a favor coming in here today. God's done you a favor to let you live and to be saved by the good grace of God. Oh my, we need some daddies that fear God. I'm going to tell you something. I want to see you saved individually. It's not a person here that I don't want to see saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I know that I've been born again by the sweet grace of God. Now I have no fear of eternity. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thank God through the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross that gives life to His children that trust Him by faith. Oh my, would y'all help me preach on a Sunday morning? We need some men that are rare back that have godly fear. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the leadership of our country had godly fear? They'd call upon a man of God to come give them direction and instruction. The Oprah Winfrey's of the day, that's not working. Dr. Field's not working. The Word of God will work this morning, America. Oh, we need to have some godly fear. Daddies, do you have godly fear in your home? I'm going to tell you, there's something. I'll just be quite honest with you. This flesh I got on me mounts up more than Ken is a lot of times. But Brother Lee, I'm going to tell you one thing. Beside this church and my family and the Holy Ghost that keeps me walking with God, Brother Jeff, it's the fear of God and what He allow come to my house. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I'm not scared of the Lord, but I sure am reverent of the Lord. And I'm going to give Him right away in place. May we get back to the fear of an Almighty God this morning. We ought to fear God and raise our children to fear God. That fear is an uncertain. I know we can have peace with God through salvation, but America don't fear God anymore. Boy, isn't it amazing when God allowed the planes, September 11, fly into those great buildings that man's built and nobody can sink. Isn't it amazing the great Titanic we built in and said it'll stay afloat forever. Honey, there's a God sitting in heaven. He's sitting on the throne this morning. Our God can do whatever He wants to do. He can do it whatever He wants to do. And He does with whoever He wants to do with. I'm glad I've seen the fear of the Lord in my heart. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Holy Ghost put the fear of God in my life. Thank God for some preachers that still preach hellfire and brimstone and put the fear of God in our lives. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. You visitors just have to be excused this morning. I'm going to fear the Lord. Hallelujah. He had the fear. The Lord. You see, now we live in a compromising gospel social church world. God's a little sissy. And let me tell you, honey, God's a God of wrath. He's a God to be feared. You say, well, how could a God love me and put me in hell? He don't. You do that to yourself. He gave you Son. He gave His Son to save you. And if you don't come His way, He has no other option but to do what His Word said He'd do. Megan Macy, may, and Jason, Cece, may you raise my grandbabies in a house that fears the Lord. Some of you don't fear God because Sunday's like any other day. Don't tell me you fear God and you won't even reverence His house. Man, I love to golf good as anybody in the building. I love to hunt, fish, goose, anybody. And everybody needs time off. But you ought to not make a habit of missing the house of God. Is anybody with their preacher on a Sunday morning? I thank God for people that know their obligations in the house of God and come back be in their place. No fear of God. That's why our children, school killings. These boys killing your children, they don't fear God. These boys molesting your children, they don't fear God. We've lost the fear of God in America. Oh, preacher, y'all not preach like that. You offend people. Honey, let me tell you, if the Word of God offends you, you think too much of yourself. I mean, what Preacher Earl Hughes said here one morning, 83 years old. He was preaching in a big way, and all of a sudden he stopped me. He said, hey, any of y'all ever been offended? I said, sir, you don't know who you're preaching to this morning. All y'all got quiet. He stuck that 2-foot finger at you and he said, I tell you why you've been offended, because you thought too much of yourself. Some of y'all on Facebook, you're showing about yourself. Don't get on Facebook and throw snaps at your preacher today. I hope your computer blows up. If you're going to be a big boy, take preaching like a big boy. Hallelujah! If you act crazy, you're going to suffer the consequences of getting crazy. Amen. Getting old's hard enough, but being stupid's crazy. Ain't that right? Getting old's hard enough, that acting crazy. Well, I think with these 2 screws in my neck, I'll just run in that wall, right? Well, get crazy. He'll let you get crazy. He'll let you get crazy. We've lost the fear of God in our country. I sure am glad I had a daddy that feared God. Man, Sunday, listen to me now. I'm not going to be much long. Listen to me, if I could just help you a minute. Let a country preacher help you this morning. Listen, fear God. Fear God. You got a bunch that's counting on you to fear God. I'm going somewhere now. Help me. We don't have church tonight. Help me. Noah's fear. Noah's fervence. The Bible said that he moved with fear. He prepared an ark. Glad I had a daddy that had fervence of doing something for his family. A lot of you say, well, preacher, leave me alone. I'm just hurting myself. That ain't right. That's the biggest lie the devil's ever told you. You're just hurting yourself. You're hurting others. When I'm not fervent with what God's told me to do, I'm hurting others. Not only hurting me, but I'm hurting you, and I'm hurting a generation coming along. The Bible said that he moved with fear and he built an ark. He was fervent. He didn't procrastinate. Oh, thank God for some daddies that's been very fervent. Chapter 6:13. I'm closing down now. 6:13. Genesis 6:13. Watch this in your Bible. Noah's fervency. He said in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Give him all the directions. I want to say, look how he comprehended God. God spoke to him and he listened. I want to ask you something. God spoke to you. Are you ready to listen? I'd like to ask y'all a question. Brother Donald, you're older than me. You stood up some 80 years old this morning, testified for the Lord. Brother Donald, I thought sure the older I'd get saved, the easier it'd get, but I declare it's getting harder. This old man, I know some of y'all have arrived. I know some of y'all got this old man beat down, got him on a cross, but I'm going to tell you, this thing keeps coming alive with me every day. And man, this thing that you're looking at in these galluses this morning gives me more problem than anybody in this world. Me. I give me more problem. But I'm going to tell you something, my purpose in my heart, Brother Tim, I'm ready to start listening. You say, how old was he, preacher? Well, he's around 600 years old. It's about time some of you go to listening. Now, look how he comprehended. And then verse 22, look how he complied. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. He didn't just take bits and pieces. Let me tell you what I want to be. I want to be a daddy that'll do everything that God wants me. Did you know, Brother Lee, one of my kids paid me one of the greatest compliments that they've ever paid me, and they didn't even know it. They're really throwing a dart at me. Any of y'all got young'uns ever throw a dart at you? I know y'all rednecks got something throw more than a dart at you. I went and God wouldn't let me have a street bike, so I tried a dirt bike. You see, in a redneck congregation, God will give you a redneck preacher. And so, as soon as I got unloaded, God dealt with me about that. I mean, man, it's just like a billy goat pulled up my yard. I mean, it's awful. Grand boy loved it. Man, he loved it. We lapped the house three times with it, and I come back in, and I told Renee, I said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, I've got to get rid of that dirt bike. She said, ain't it a motorcycle? God done told me no motorcycle. I thought he meant a street bike, you know. Hello? Pick a phone up. It's ringing this morning. Pick it up. You know what Renee said? What God said, he means what he said, Ken. Sold a motorcycle. Up comes Parker. Pop, where my cooter at? I said, it's gone to the doctor. Every time he come to port, pop, that red bike still sick. He done all. Now, this is a compliment, they said. I got sidetracked. I'm going to pull you back in. I'm going to close. This is what she said. She said, Daddy, any little thing bothers you? Oh, God, please let my heart stay that tender. Lord, please don't let me get too big for my britches. Lord, please, if it takes keeping me at the foot of the cross, I want to stay there. I want anything that's not right with you to bother me. I want it to bother me. I'm glad I had a daddy that sin bothered him. Woo! I'm trying. Trying. I'm glad I had a daddy that was fervent in what God. Matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed or not, but his household was counting on daddy to be fervent. And we know that Noah didn't save his house, but we know the Bible said that he had parts in saving his house. Takes me on the outline. Noah's faith, his fear, his fervency. But look at Noah's family. Genesis 7:1. Here's a great verse. Watch now. What? Young people, look up here. Get you some preaching. Get off your cell phones. Watch what it says. Ain't no time for texting. It's time for listening. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. I'm going to tell you, Noah's family counted on daddy doing right. You see, delay would have been disastrous. Let me share if you'd come. Delay would have been disastrous. You listen to me, daddies. We've had a good time preaching this morning. I've enjoyed preaching to you. But let me tell you something today. God is going to hold you accountable for them babies. You brought them in this world. Now, he's going to hold you accountable for what they know when they leave this world. Now, I'm going to say this. I said it Wednesday night, but wasn't many of you here to hear it. What is the odds of your child going pro in sports? What's the odds? 0.5%? 1% of all the ball players in the United States hit the pro. Is that right? 1%? Let me ask you this. You know what percentage is going to meet God? 110%. It's not about you teaching Johnny or Susie how to throw a baseball. And I know that's part of life. I'm not against it. It's got its place. But you better hear this, old country preacher, this morning. God has given you the responsibility to see about your house. Now, why don't you be a man and see about it? Why don't we just get honest with God and say, Lord, I need you. Could y'all imagine, Miss Sherry, Brother Dave, could y'all imagine when God said, come, He is already in there. He didn't say go in. He said come in. God is inside waiting on him. He said, I want you to bring all your house, all your little babies. Now he had three sons and their wives. He and Miss Noah. Can you imagine when God said, come on in here? Now watch this. The Bible said he was the eighth person saved by water in the book of Peter. Water. Yeah. He went in an ark. He is the last and end, the eighth. You know, he preached 120 years. I wonder, Brother Mike, but him being the eighth saved, the last one. I wonder maybe did he hold the door and turn around and said, boy, I sure wish somebody else was coming, but God just made a command. He said, bring your house in. Now, I want to ask you something. I wonder if some of them daddies would have coupled up with Noah down there when he was building instead of making fun of him. I wonder if they'd have chimed in. I wonder what God said, now, Benny, bring your house in here too. I'm going to tell you this, if you're waiting for somebody to amen you and applaud you for serving God, you better read your Bible, Genesis 6 and 7, because Noah felt a lot alone, but I'll remind you, he was not alone. God said, come in. Oh, is anybody getting any happy this morning? Instead of talking about the man of God, you might ought to couple up with the man of God. It may do your house a favor down the road. Boy, wouldn't that be something? How many people died? I don't know, but there's a pile of them. I can tell you this, every one of them died but eight. And when God closed that door, you better realize something. Fear was too late then, friend. Noah's family, to the saving, he moved with fear to the building of an ark, to the saving of his house. Daddy, sounds like to me you got a lot of responsibility. You say, preacher, I'm old. I've not done that. Get started today. Noah was old. Today's our first day of the rest of our life. Then Noah's favor. For thee have I seen righteousness. That's what some of you all do this morning. Brother Tim's going to sing. Going to open up this altar. Some of you ought to grab your daddy this morning. You ought to turn around. You ought to grab hold of your mama. Tell her you love her. And I'm going to tell you what. I found out going through this life, the reason a lot of daddies is successful is because it's the mama that's standing behind the scenes. It's keeping everything all buckled together. Whatever's in your heart this morning, you come. Maybe you hear. You say, preacher, I'm ready to go to listening. I need some help from my family. Let me ask you this, sir. I got three grandbabies this morning. Is Sophie asleep? Sophie, would I scare you this morning? Okay. Parker, come here. Livy, come here just a minute. Come here just a minute. Sophie would come if I had a cupcake. Come here. Come here. Let me tell you something. Right here's a crowd on me doing, they counting on me doing right. You hear me? They counting on their mom and daddy to do right. Now let me ask you something. When they took them three young'uns and them wives in that ark, don't you think they got to thinking, oh, I sure am glad my daddy served God. Can I ask you, what's the price of these lives? Sir, what's the price of your children and grandchildren? Let me tell you what, this Bible's still right, and we got a God that's still alive. And long as you got breath, you got time. I appreciate your attention this morning. I open this altar. You sing, Brother.